If you're asked what the cost of crime in Australia is, you might say something about moral standards or society. But what about the economic cost? Crime is costing Australia a total of $48 billion a year. Yes, that's billion with a B. And much of that cost is actually on incarceration. And that is despite some crime rates actually declining. With the huge costs burdening the national and state budgets, it begs the question, could more emphasis towards rehabilitation and preventions programs help lower the cost of crime? Well, to discuss the matter, I'm joined by the Professor of Law at the University of South Australia, Rick Saar, to discuss more on the issue. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Miles. I'm tired. My wife and I have just seen 20 Friends shows together, so it's all over. Time to relax.
There you go. Time to relax and talk about crime in Australia. A very relaxing subject, I'm sure. Now,
I'm ready. Yes, and in fact, you're quite right. When you talk about the $48 billion, and I should just divide that into a couple of little segments, it's costing us around about $16 billion, and you're quite right with the B, in relation to the actual machinery of justice. That's police, courts, corrections. Corrections is about a third of that. And in terms of what people are estimating our losses are, economic losses, we're talking about twice that. Some $30 billion. So all up about $48 billion. And you're quite right when you did your little lead in there. Of course, we're talking about the economic cost. We shouldn't ever forget the emotional cost and the toll taken on people's lives.
Now, as I did say earlier, now crime is declining in some areas across Australia. So how is it possible that the cost has actually increased and gone up to $48 billion? I really don't understand that.
Well, it's an interesting economic exercise. Most of that dollars amount is in fraud, where you have small numbers of people taking large numbers of money. So that's one of the reasons that those costs are going up. But of course, there's also policing costs. There's also, as you said before, correctional costs, and there's also courts costs. Let's talk about the policing costs very, very quickly. At the moment, we have more police per head of population than we've had in the last 100 years. Forgetting any colonial times, we're talking about modern times. So governments have been allocating a lot more dollars to police. And so that's becoming a very expensive exercise. We're also putting more people behind bars than we've ever had, ever, since colonial times. Of course, we wouldn't talk about the First Fleet where most of the population was behind bars, but we've now got close to 40,000 Australians behind bars tonight. And that is the highest it's ever been per head of population in this last century or so. And that's because governments are instructing the courts to impose heavier sentences. They're instructing the courts to deny bail and to deny parole. So we have a lot more people behind bars, a lot more police on the streets. Of course, the machinery of justice includes courts that have to monitor that particular process. Now, your listeners might be saying, well, is that the cost we have to have these lower crime rates? And the pieces that I've been writing on this particular subject highlight that that's not the case. In fact, there are a number of places around the world where we have very low costs of crime and very low imprisonment rates and very low crime rates. And in fact, for a 10-year period, Queensland, up until about 5 years ago, had in fact declining imprisonment rates while having declining crime rates. There's a whole range of reasons for the lower rates of crime. Very few of them to do with anything about the high costs of maintaining crime and the cost of crime to the community.
Okay, so you spoke a little bit about incarceration there and how it takes up a massive chunk of that $48 billion. Do you think there needs to be a bit of a rethink about how we approach measures like going to prison? Is it perhaps too punitive, and do we need to look on prevention or genuine rehabilitation of people who do commit criminal offences? I mean, how can we fix this? Because I'm sure, plenty of people hear us talk about this, but I suppose a lot of people want to know, how can we actually fix these issues?
Well, the reason I wrote a little piece that you've called me about this morning in the conversation is because I did want to do exactly that. I wanted to take a chunk of money. In fact, I took $100 million and divided it into a whole range of things. Of course, that was rather symbolic. It could have been $100,000. It could have been $10. And I'm just basically saying that we should be reallocating the way in which we respond to crime, and rather than putting all of our emphasis at the end, namely into police, courts and corrections, we should be putting a larger chunk of money into the beginning, because we now have a really rich vein of research evidence that's now been growing over the last 30 to 40 years, not only here, but in the other parts of the Western world, telling us that we should be investing far more into our young people, far more into getting young people out of the courts, to diverting them from the justice process, to looking into families which are dysfunctional, which are bringing up kids who are alienated, abused and neglected. And that's where our money should be going. And so in this particular piece, I was saying, if you take a factor of 10, whether it's $100 million or $10, let's just take $10. Seven of those dollars should be focused on, say, kids up to the age of 15, with the other three on the responses that we might have to people who actually commit crime. In other words, we can't let everyone out of jail. That's silly. But we should be focusing our attention more on preventing the crime that that is going to happen in the next 20 to 30 years. And at the moment, our focus is on the end result, the result of which all we're doing is simply foisting today's crime onto our children.
Now, one crime in particular that sees a lot of people in jail is, offences for possessing or distributing narcotics. And there's even been a bit of kind of hit back from some areas of Parliament, especially in the New South Wales Parliament, about perhaps rethinking our policy towards drug crimes, and whether or not drug offences should always carry penalties, that include a prison sentence. Do you think perhaps changing the laws around that might also help this issue?
Well, the first thing we can do is to follow the literature that's now been emerging for the last 20 to 25 years in relation to whether or not drug offences are actually a criminal matter or whether they're a health matter. And that debate's been going on for a long period of time. One of the things that came out of that a dozen or 15 years ago was the development of drug courts. That is, when you've got a person who's either administering drugs or dealing with drugs or around the whole drug culture, you put them through a specialist court that are actually focused on health needs, on welfare needs, on familial needs, on alienation needs, rather than suggesting that every person who's got anything to do with drugs is now going to be criminalised and therefore put behind bars. So, yes, the first thing I would do is to bolster drug courts. You might remember that Campbell Newman, when he came to power in Queensland, abolished the drug courts, saying that that was something that was soft on crime, which, of course, was absurd. The Palaszczuk government came back in power and immediately reinstated them, which was a good move. The idea being we're dealing with people who are around drugs because they do it for a particular reason. Typically, people take drugs because they feel alienated. So if we actually feel that we can respond to that in other ways more creatively than putting them behind bars, that's a very good thing. We could also reverse the laws, a lot of laws around Australia at the moment, which actually say there's a reverse presumption in relation to bail. So you're caught engaging in drug trafficking, you're going to go straight behind bars. I think that reverse presumption also should be revisited. That would have the effect of reducing our prison numbers immediately.
Now, I want to touch on the Northern Territory just briefly. And that is, police training is vital to the deterrence of various types of crimes. But is it fair to say, however, that cases of brutality by law enforcement contributes to crime costs? I mean, given especially what we saw last year, some infamous images and reporting around the Northern Territory Youth Detention Centre, I believe it was Don Dale Juvenile Prison, actually saw a lot of children, clearly brutalised by prison guards. I mean, does that actually incur any economic cost? I mean, are those people more likely to reoffend as a consequence of that kind of treatment?
Well, one of the great research findings that has emerged in the last 30 years is to say that if you want a young person to continue into a life of crime, you lock them up at an early age. I mean, it's sad, but it's true. It sounds like we need to be protecting the community, but essentially what we're doing is we're foisting onto the community a person who is now far more brutalised and alienated than he ever would have been. Now, I'm not suggesting we treat every child with kid gloves. What I am suggesting is we have to be a lot more careful about not brutalising young people, because we can guarantee that the vast majority of those people will be released from juvenile detention and will continue into a life of crime into their 20s, their 30s and even 40s. So that's the long-term cost of those short-term supposed gains when people think that the best thing one can do is brutalise a young person to kind of knock crime out of them. All you're doing is reinforcing crime. What I'm saying in this written piece recently is there's a lot of really, really good research around this thing called legitimacy, not just in relation to prison officers, but certainly in relation to police. It is now absolutely unequivocal that the psychological evidence is clear, that people are less likely to commit crime. You and I are less likely to commit crime if we think that the police themselves are acting legitimately. if we think the police and other law enforcement and other regulatory agencies are getting away with things and knocking people around behind the police office or engaging in covert activities, the sort of Dirty Harry activities of, you know, stretching the law and going outside the law in order to bring some sort of law and order, all you're doing is reinforcing into the public mind that it's okay to engage in unacceptable behaviours. And if they believe the police are engaging in unacceptable behaviours, they think their unacceptable behaviour is appropriate as well. Go back to those riots. We've had a long history of riots in England where the people engaged in outrageous acts.
Sounds like we've just lost you there, Rick. I think we just lost you there for a moment. I'll just go to just one last quick question. Outside of incarceration and the penal system, because it seems like a lot of our costs are around this $48 billion bill presides around there, but I'm sure there are other areas that contribute to it. What else can we do to kind of address this massive cost to outside of the corrections system to reduce our budget bill, reduce our crime bill?
My main emphasis, and I can finish on this, Miles, I think it's a good point. My main emphasis is we should be taking a huge chunk of money away from what we're currently doing in relation to police courts and corrections and putting it into child welfare and ensuring that kids are raised in families that are not dysfunctional. Now, that's a matter of social welfare. It's a matter of housing. It's a matter of employment. It's a matter of education. We need to see each of those things as crime prevention methods rather than suggesting the only way we can prevent crime is to have more police, longer sentences, and more prison guards and more prisoners.